Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. So began our worship, so begins our meditation and the season of Lent we share together. Please be seated. When the people involved in the Passion narrative looked at Jesus, what did they see? In most cases, people misunderstood him and what he was doing. Only a few people recognized him by faith for who he truly is. Our Lenten journey this season will follow the Gospel of Mark as we examine how various people around Jesus viewed him, and perhaps more importantly, how we view him. We will fix our eyes on what Jesus has done for us, saving us from our sins by his holy, precious blood, innocent suffering and death. And we will celebrate what God sees in us on account of that work. Imagine how uncomfortable it would be if you had gotten the ash that is now upon your forehead in your eyes. Your vision would be sorely clouded. And our sin is like that. Our sinful nature is like ash clouding our spiritual vision. We look at what is good and misunderstand its purpose. Or we look upon what is beautiful and misjudge its value. So it was also in Jesus' day. Mark's gospel takes us to a scene in which an act of kindness and service is interpreted from a purely human perspective through misjudging eyes. We read, "It was now 2 days before the Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him." The Passover and Jesus' passion were just a couple of days away. Jesus knew this. He had repeatedly told his disciples that his death was near. But unlike Jesus, the guests at Simon's dinner party didn't have their mind on a cross when this uninvited woman barged in, broke open a jar of perfume, and dumped it on Jesus' head. Now, artwork and some contemporary interpretation tends to depict this woman's act as serene and ceremonious. The text, on the other hand, suggests a suddenness and urgency to what she did. Alabaster flasks weren't cheap, and they were intended to be reused. But here, she smashes it open, renders it useless for the future. And so I don't picture her pouring this ointment, this oil, gently and slowly upon Jesus' head, but rather just drenching him with all the contents that were in it, leaving him blinking to squeeze out the drops that had run into his own eyes. And then there's the value of this ointment. If it really could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, that would be roughly a year's wages for a day laborer. At a modest wage of $12.50 an hour in our economy, 300 days' wages converts to about $30,000. Just imagine how many people you could feed with 300 denarii. That's some pretty expensive ointment. And that's what the guests at Simon's dinner party were focused on. It's what they were saying amongst themselves, what outraged them at this woman's supposed wastefulness. They were indignant that so many could go hungry because of her impulsiveness. I mean, you could just hear it. "What's wrong with you, woman? Are you out of your mind? You should have sold that perfume and given the money to the poor. But they had misjudging eyes. They could not or would not see what was happening with clarity. However, Jesus always sees clearly. He comes to the woman's defense, tells her critics to back off, and Jesus recognizes that her hurried, clumsy, unceremonious, impulsive action is a beautiful work, for it is preparation for the most beautiful, noble, good work in the course of human history, his own suffering, death, and burial that was soon to come. It is indeed good to give to the needy, to do good to the poor. But when the incarnate Son of God is sitting at your dinner table, preparing to suffer and die for the sin of the whole world in a couple of days, and then be hastily entombed without a proper anointing of his body, then 300 denarii worth of ointment is surely no waste, but rather is rightly dedicated to his service. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, we read in Ecclesiastes. What the dinner guests could not see was the sheer uniqueness, the tremendous weight of the moment that they were witnessing. Christ, it means, the very word means God's anointed one. And God's anointed one was soon to give his body and to pour out his blood, to give his life as a healing ointment for sinners. What an aroma that perfume must have made in that house. It's reminiscent of the way our abundant Easter flowers fill the sanctuary with the aroma of resurrection. For in just a few days after that dinner scene, Jesus would be hanging on a cross. And as the sweat and blood poured down Jesus' face, one wonders, could he still smell the gift of perfume that had prepared him for burial? It would have been fitting if he could. For as St. Paul writes, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us a fragrant offering as a sacrifice to God. The aroma of Christ's holy person and his atoning work turned away the wrath of God against sinners once and for all. The power of sin, death, and Satan shattered like that broken alabaster flask. And the grace of God poured out in similar abundance upon each of us, so that we are now liberated from the realm of darkness and death to live forever in the kingdom of light and life. And for the rest of your earthly lives, to love God with all your heart, to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what the unnamed woman was doing, motivated by faith in Jesus and love for him. And Jesus solemnly stated, "Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." This woman was an integral part of the gospel being fulfilled. And the gospel is always about the forgiveness of sins being received by faith. Why doesn't Mark give us the woman's name? Well, it's likely because at that moment, she herself was not the point. Jesus and his saving work were the point. She has done what she could, Jesus says. And even in her anonymity, it shows us that she is simply living out her vocation on that particular day, that she was called to do this beautiful work of anointing Jesus before his burial. And so she did, perhaps not even fully understanding what it is that she was doing. She did it not to be praised or seen by others, not seeking any sort of reward. But it can be said of her that she had eyes only for Jesus. So it is with us. You also are called to do what you can in the various vocations that our Lord has entrusted to you. Whatever situation you find yourself in from day to day, with eyes fixed on Jesus, you will neither misjudge your own good work as somehow earning your way into God's grace, nor will you be burdened by the response of others who may at times misjudge you. That takes all the pressure off and places you quite contently under the easy yoke and light burden of our Lord. So on this Ash Wednesday and every day, repent and believe this gospel. Rejoice that you are seen as forgiven and righteous in the eyes of the one who judges justly, the eyes of the one who loves you incomparably, the eyes of Jesus. Amen.